At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
A warmer, fuzzy, low. Welcome to Bumpy Las Vegas for Ghost Cousins with myself, Greg Eats Peterson, now part of the Beeson Family Podcast. We've got an excellent podcast for you guys. Joining me in segment number two, we're going to have Blake Lovell aboard. He does absolutely tremendous work over at Southeastern 14, and he's going to be joining me chatting about what we've all seen here in the SEC in the offseason. There's been no shortage of intrigue with Arkansas, Kentucky, those two schools, but on top of that, what Alabama's been able to do. I've been a fan of what Ole Miss has been able to do as well, so we're going to be chatting with him about that, and if he truly believes that the transfer portal is closed, as we've seen a few names trickle in that apparently entered into the transfer portal late, so we're going to share those up in the final segment and take a look at all the news and notes and player movement that we did see in college basketball on Thursday. That'll be happening in the final segment, and if you do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways to fire those in. First one is my Twitter/X timeline at @Juden_41. Keep in mind, letters M, they mean does not matter, so as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. The other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated, and then from there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via the 5-star review. And no, I did not get in any Twitter/X questions today, and please do fire those in, because I do base the first segment typically around it. We've been seeing a lot of this happening in college basketball the last few days, and I do think that with the portal closing, it's putting an emphasis on it. Guys that they have to decide whether or not they're actually going to be returning to their school, now the ball is very much in their court, because for these guys that they don't know whether or not they're going to be returning or not, they can no longer enter into the transfer portal. As of right now, like I said, I do think that there's probably going to be some sort of a lawsuit, and I'm sure that some kid is going to get his way and get into the transfer portal. But that said, these kids, as of right now, they have to decide, all right, do I want to return to school or do I want to go pro? You had that with Ryan Kalkbrenner. You had that also with Grant Nelson over at Alabama, and for Kalkbrenner over at Creighton. And both of these guys decided to return, and these are the things that you want to be looking for as of right now, in my opinion, because while it doesn't make as much news when a guy decides to return to school as opposed to, oh, we picked up guy X who is averaging 16 points per game at insert funny duddy school here. These are the things that I think are oh so important. And honestly, I take a look at a guy returning that averaged like 10 points per game. Oftentimes, I think that that's even bigger than bringing in a guy that might have averaged like 14 points per game at another school, especially if you've not had a coaching change or anything like that. They're familiar with the system. These are the big things to be taking a look at as of right now. Certainly, the NBA draft decisions, we're going to be seeing those really come to the forefront more towards the very early summer months. I believe that the combine is towards the back half of May, so we're going to be getting a little bit more familiarity with these guys there. And most of the guys that are sort of on the borderline, they've already entered in the transfer portal, but there are some guys that they did not, and it's all going to be about, all right, do I return to school? Like in the case of someone like a Mark Sears, for example, I think that that's a good example, as he was over at Alabama as well. Does he decide, all right, I'm going to be going back to school or staying in the NBA draft? These are the big decisions to be taking a look at right now, and I think that these are the biggest decisions of impact. You still have plenty of big names out there in the transfer portal, but those guys returning, treat them like gold, just like I treat all my guests like gold on this podcast, because we've been fortunate enough to have quite a few good ones. And Blake Lovell's one of the best out there at Southeastern 14, taking a look at this great game that we all know and love. And we're going to be taking a look at that fine conference next, right here on Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Peterson, now a part of the Music Family Podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Eves Peterson, now part of the Visa Family Podcast. It is always great to be joined by this man, as Blake Lovell, he does such a tremendous job taking a look at this great game that we all know and love over there at Southeastern 14, as we've had a lot of hoopla here in the offseason with the SEC, and now we've got some newcomers coming in as well with Texas, Oklahoma. I know that he's doing a great job scouring the front of those teams, taking a look at all the craziness that we have been seeing out in the SEC and just really nationwide in college basketball. You're able to follow Blake on Twitter/X at the Blake Lovell. Last name is spelled L-O-V-E-L-L. And Blake, it's always great to get you aboard. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks as always for having me on, Greg.
Thank you for joining me, Blake. And first things first, before we dive in on some of the player movement that we have been seeing, want to get your thoughts on, since we last spoke, it became official that graduate transfers had to enter at the same time as normal transfers. They had to be in by May 1st. So by the time this is up, people are going to be knowing that now nobody else can enter in the transfer portal. And what sort of impact do you think that this has on the offseason? Because just from my vantage point, it does, in my opinion, place a little bit more emphasis on these coaches getting their work in a little bit earlier, getting their roster set a bit earlier than in past seasons, because last few years, we've seen a few teams hold out until like July, August to get in some of those final few pieces. And I don't think the teams are going to have that luxury anymore.
Yeah, I don't think so either, Greg. And I think coaches probably don't mind this very much, because we said from the beginning, and especially the way it's kind of become, I think, you know, they'd love to know what their roster is going to look like much earlier rather than later. And I think this is certainly something that, you know, would give them an opportunity to do that. Because like you said, I can remember back, you know, over the past couple seasons, we're talking about some of these guys that are still out there July and August, and we're like, oh yeah, we forgot that they still have this spot to fill or that spot to fill. And so, yeah, I think this is kind of a situation now where you look at it, and like you mentioned, it kind of is now one where you feel like you have a much better idea of what your team will look like, at least from, you know, the majority of it, I would think, by this time now moving forward. And again, we've seen a lot of that movement for new coaches in different spots really just kind of go after it and make all these different moves, which obviously, you know, if you're looking at the SEC teams, of course, Kentucky and Arkansas have had to rebuild entire rosters and go out and get guys now, knowing that this is kind of the time. And I think this is one where things get a lot more interesting. But as always, it's like rosters are just constantly moving. And at least now, maybe coaches have a little bit better idea of where things stand versus whereas before, it felt like we had guys that were transferring 2 days before the season started. So
yeah, but absolutely, it's becoming almost college basketball speed dating with trying to bring some of these guys in. So I do think that it's going to be really interesting to see what we get there. And what we're seeing in terms of Kentucky is things are starting to come to the forefront with regards to this roster. And we saw a massive move on Wednesday with Kirk Carissa coming on over to Kentucky, which I flat out just do think that this is going to be a better fit for them rather than what Kirk Carissa had at West Virginia last year. He just felt like he was a little bit of a fish out of water with everything that happened with West Virginia. And well, a lot of that is because West Virginia, my goodness gracious, that was just a complete and utter calamity last season. But what do you make out of the roster that right now we have for Kentucky? Because they're bringing in Andrew Carr, who, want to talk about a rise, he was like the fourth best player on Delaware a few seasons ago. Otego away, Kobe Brea, guys like this, along with Amari Williams. And for Kentucky, I don't know if these pieces necessarily fit together, but certainly they brought in a lot of talent in a short amount of time.
Yeah, Kentucky fans will definitely look at this and say, what is this team I'm looking at? Because these guys are old. And we know sometimes that's kind of been the knock on teams during the John Calipari era, was that they just didn't have enough older guys year after year. And, you know, we kind of even said it last year. I feel like they only had two guys they could rely on that were, you know, older. And now you could basically start an entire starting lineup for Kentucky that would all be either seniors or grad transfers. And so I think that's probably, you know, the one thing that certainly stands out. Mark Pope has gone out and definitely loaded up there to kind of mix it with a couple of the freshman guys. And then, of course, like you said, you got Oway coming in and Brandon Garrison and guys like that. But I think when you just look at it from that standpoint, getting a, you know, just an absolute winner in Lamont Butler is a nice thing to have. Like you said, getting Kreese in there feels like a better fit than what he had last season. Kobe Bray, I know a lot of people very high on what he's going to be able to do for this team. You mentioned kind of Andrew Carr's ascent, Amari Williams. These are all guys who have really just, again, you kind of see the ascent of their careers. And I think Butler is probably the guy that sort of holds everything together right now. I'm not saying he's going to go out and score 20 points a game, but to me, he is exactly that kind of guy that Mark Pope wanted, to be able to go out and get a guy who won as many games as he did at San Diego State, being able to play on a team like that, play such a big role. And I think he's kind of your guy that you're looking at now. As you see how they're building this roster, I'm very curious to see kind of how the roles unfold. But it feels like, you know, especially when you look at kind of the older backcourt they're going to have with those guys in particular, this is one where, like we said, we knew that Mark Pope would have to rebuild this thing from scratch. And he's trying to do that. And I think, again, given what's out there, give him credit. He's going the older route. And I think that's something that will be very welcome from Kentucky fans who just felt like that has been one of the missing pieces that they've had in recent years.
Now all we need is for him to bring Seth Towns out of retirement for his ninth season of college basketball, which unfortunate to see him stepping away, but certainly it is a new-look Kentucky team, and I do think that it's one that is going to be very intriguing out there in the SEC, as Blake Lovell does such great work over at Southeastern 14. Is joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops, because I do think that the style that Mark Coach was coaching up over at BYU is one that is going to be able to translate to the SEC. His teams were relatively solid on the boards, even though they wouldn't have that one like dominator that'd be like 7 feet tall, that would have like muscles upon muscles or anything like that. But that said, they've got competent rebounders. Now they've got a guy in Kirk Carissa that I'm pretty sure that you'd agree with me, when he is on, he is on. When he is off, he is off. But can certainly be a dynamic guy. But I take a look at this roster, and I think that there's going to be a lot of inconsistency with Kentucky. I think that there's going to be games where they lose that they have no business losing. I think that there are going to be games where they sneak up on a lot of people and they pull off upsets. But I do think that this is just a roster that in general is going to play well in the SEC.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, again, I think the experience is definitely going to help with these guys. And I don't know that, you know, the expectation should be Final Four or anything like that right away. But, you know, I do think this is clearly a team that, again, he's building to kind of play around the style that he wants to play. And we kind of saw some of those common themes, like you mentioned, whenever he was at BYU. And I think you'll see this team play up tempo. You know, we know kind of the three-point shooting element and all those things that he really wants to push. Definitely a team, I think, you know, from a rebounding standpoint, you look at kind of the guys they brought in. And I think it's always interesting, too, because you're trying to compare this team to what else you see in the SEC. And to be honest with you, Greg, I think this is kind of a, as I'm looking at it now, again, there's a lot, probably still moves to be made, but I think there's a pretty clear-cut top group of the SEC, and I don't know that that group is maybe as big as it was last year right now, because, you know, there's a couple teams out there, I think, that are still trying to fill some of those spots, you know, whether it's seeing how Tennessee compares to last year or South Carolina, you know, teams like that were near the top, and now I'm just curious to see how this Kentucky roster shapes up to those whenever you get to that point with all that. So it's really just seeing how does Kentucky continue to fill their roster, Arkansas, teams like that, because it feels like there's still a long way to go for some of these teams.
Yep, there certainly is a long ways to go for some of these teams, and it is going to be interesting to see what we get on that front. But I still feel like one of the biggest things that we saw this past week or so in terms of the SEC is not necessarily a guy that was switching schools, but a guy that is staying. Grant Nelson decided that he is going to be utilizing that extra year over at Alabama. And I think that this is just absolutely massive for Alabama. As we know, they did lose a few guys, like they did lose Ryland Griffin over the last week or so, which that was a big time get, by the way. I mean, you're bringing in Ryland Griffin. That said, when I just take a look at this Alabama team, I like what they've been able to do thus far this offseason, because even though they haven't like brought in bulk transfers or anything like that, being able to bring in some of their own, being able to keep some of those guys on campus is big. And then they're going to have the, shall we say, Iron Bowl on the hardwood have a little bit of a renewed effect with Aiden Holloway coming in, as well as they retool that backcourt. Meanwhile, they're able to maintain that big man. I think that that's just massive for Alabama.
Yeah, it is for sure. I think right now, you know, I probably wouldn't hesitate to put Alabama in that top spot in the SEC, not just because they were the last team standing in the Final Four, but like you said, you get a Nelson coming back. You see all the guys that they're going to be pairing him with. You know, obviously there are still a couple of unknowns out there right now that seem to be closer to maybe known. So I think once maybe a couple of those moves are made, then you're going to see, you know, maybe Alabama stock continue to rise even more. And so, yeah, I look at this Alabama team and I just feel like they have exactly what we always say that Nate Oates' teams need. They need some of those guys at the guard position that are older. You have some guys who've just played a lot of games. And I think that's what's really important. And you think about just the importance, you know, of combining a Grant Nelson who came in, did what he did last year. Think about, you know, some of those guys who played such a big role, bringing in guys like a Chris Youngblood, Houston Millett, all those different guys. And I think, yeah, like you said, Holloway's got all the potential in the world. See how he kind of fares now in this Alabama offensive style versus maybe what he thought he could be in Auburn's offensive style. And so, yeah, I think right now, to me, Alabama's the front runner in the SEC. They're, like, you know, again, you look at what Auburn's done, some other teams like that. But yeah, I think Alabama has the highest ceiling right now of any of those teams.
I do think that they have the highest ceiling, but I know that you talked about this team a lot last year and just their overall consistency. And I think that that's going to be back for them once again. How about what Tennessee has done? As I feel like they've gotten some really nice fits. Felix Opar is that just textbook defense-oriented player that's going to be able to block shots. That's going to be so good down low because you lose the likes of Toby Awaka and company. He's going to be a perfect fit there. And then you take a look at Igor Milicic, who he's not going to be the scorer that Dalton Connect was or anything like that. But a guy that's 6'10" that's able to pop threes, I think that Tennessee, with the three guys that they brought in, these two, along with Darlston Dubar, who comes in from Hofstra, they haven't necessarily brought in that one guy that's going to elevate the team and is going to be what Dalton Connect was last year. But I think that they've gotten good fits for a team that, once again, is going to be able to be just that rock-solid team, though they might not have that alpha dog score unlike a season ago.
Yeah, that's my worry for this Tennessee team right now, is looking at this and saying, obviously there's no Dalton Kincaid, and you know, certainly that's going to make you rethink some things offensively. I think defensively they could be fantastic. There's no question about it, but this could still be one of those teams that probably, you know, maybe could go back a little bit to where some of those frustrations we had before Dalton Kincaid got there. They're going to go out and stop people, but man, I worry sometimes, you know, what's that offensive consistency going to look like? And I think at least just for right now, that's a fair question to figure out exactly what that will look like in the post Dalton Kincaid era. But that's not to say that, you know, a Jordan Gainey can't take a step forward. We saw him play a very important role for that Tennessee team last year. And I think, you know, he clearly can be someone who can score. I don't know if he's going to score at the level of a Dalton Kincaid, but, you know, look at someone like Darlon Stone-Dubar coming in. So they've got some good options, I think, in terms of filling some of that void offensively. But, you know, that is still going to be the one thing. And like I said a minute ago, I think you just sort of give Rick Barnes the benefit of the doubt. I probably still put him behind, you know, a team like Alabama right now, maybe a team or two elsewhere. But the fact is, when you look at kind of the roster that they built, there's really no reason to believe Tennessee's just going to dramatically drop off without Kincaid and without, you know, Josiah Jordan James and guys like that who played a big role in this team. Of course, Toby Awaka, Jonas Adu, those guys transferred. So it's a new-look Tennessee team, and I think just seeing how the chemistry comes together with a team like that is always kind of the most fascinating question for me.
Yep, it is going to be so interesting to take a look at what we're going to be getting out of them, and there's a lot of questions with a lot of teams, and we should be getting more and more answers as things do go along, as Blake Lovell does such great work over at Southeastern 14. He's joining me right here on Cusco Soups, and Blake, there has been no shortage of moves here made in the last few weeks. There has been a lot of intrigue with so many of these rosters as it's finally coming together for a lot of these teams. I do want to open it up. It can be an SEC team. It could be a team that was maybe thinking about going to the SEC, hasn't gone there quite yet. You can just pick any team out of the 362 out there in all of college basketball. What's a few teams or just one or two teams in general that you take a look at what they've done the last few weeks and you just really like some of the moves that they've made? It could be under the radar. It could be mainstream. You pick your choice. But that said, just is there a few teams that you look at and you just like what they've done the last few weeks?
Look, I mean, we did talk a lot about Kentucky, and, you know, I will keep it in the SEC here because we were talking about this morning. And I'm like, it's so bizarre that I'm having this conversation right now about Jonas Adu playing for John Calipari at Arkansas. Like, it's just one of those things where it's like you're connecting all these different dots. You're like, wait a second. Last year, Cal was coaching Kentucky. Adu was, you know, one of the top players on Tennessee. Now all these elements are in Arkansas. And I think Arkansas is the team that now I look at what he's building there. And obviously, you're going to have, you know, a group of freshmen coming in. You've already seen some of those guys come in. Bogey Flynn, I thought, was a big addition just from a freshman standpoint. But when you see what he's putting around the freshmen, Adu, Jonnell Davis from FAU, who I think was just a, you know, probably the biggest pickup for Arkansas, not to knock Adu or anything, but I think Davis, just what he's going to bring at the guard position, outstanding. The fascination with what happens with Big Z now in, you know, in year two under John Calipari. The also fascination, Greg, of playing Jonas Adu and Big Z together, what that looked like. I think Arkansas, and we have to still see because they have quite a few spots left available, but would I be shocked if a month from now, we're going back at this and saying, well, maybe Arkansas is a team to beat in the SEC because Cal has all of a sudden just made all these moves and here they are, right? And so I think when you look at it, you know, the pecking order in the SEC, we talked about some of these teams, but I feel like Arkansas is one. They've gotten, I think, what they need to at least as a starting point to feel really good about being able to succeed in year one under Cal. Of course, we'll have a conversation about the tournament and all that stuff, but I think that what he's done so far to get some guys like this, I know there's some other guys they're certainly feeling pretty good about at this point. That is one that I would definitely look at and feel pretty good about if I'm an Arkansas fan and looking ahead and thinking, all right, maybe this is a great opportunity to be able to, you know, really make some moves here and see what they can do in Cal's first season.
Yep, you bring in 2 7-footers that were in the SEC last season. You bring in a guy in Jonnell Davis who was a top scorer over at Florida Atlantic. And say what you will about Florida Atlantic last year, Jonnell Davis, he was really the guy that carried the load for them a season ago. He is, in my opinion, fully capable of being a top flight scorer out there in the SEC. He brings with him all those top 50 recruits from Kentucky. So right there with you. It has been a great offseason for him. And I know that's going to be a great offseason for you guys over at Southeastern 14 because I know you're hard at work looking at all these moves that we are seeing right now. It just never ends, my friend. We always have something to talk about in college basketball. You do a great job of keeping your finger on the pulse of it. Also, let the good people at home know it's all on tap for you and how people can follow along on social media and other platforms.
Yeah, always appreciate it, Greg. You can find all of our stuff, CC basketball related, over at Southeastern 14 on YouTube, and yeah, all the other college basketball stuff. Find me on Twitter, /hex, at the Blake Lovell.
And Blake does such an incredible job taking a look at this great game that we all know and love all 12 months out of the year, and every single time he joins the show, he always lends such great insight. So big thanks to Blake for joining me on Coast to Coast Hoops, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. Coming up next, another rambunctious day of college basketball with a lot of player movement. We'll give you a recap of that next.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Cusco Soups with myself, Craig Oops Peterson, now part of the VSIN Family Podcast. Always great to be able to get Blake Lovell aboard. There has been no shortage of intrigue with those SEC schools here in the transfer portal, all that they have been doing here in the offseason. And Blake, he does such a great job taking a look at this great game that we all know and love. So a big thanks to Blake for joining me in the last segment. Now it is that time of the podcast. I give you a recap of all the news and notes that we saw in college basketball over the last 24 hours. This one was a late add to the transfer portal, pretty much at the buzzer. Akur, he was playing this last season over at Samford, 6'9", versatile piece that shot 43.5% from three, and all SoCon team members, 16 points, 6 boards per contest. He was pretty much the last man to get into the transfer portal, and he is going to be a very big add. You have to figure that there's going to be so many teams at the Division I level that are going to be interested in his services. He's able to generate some steals. He's able to do just a little bit of everything in general. I think that he is going to be very much sought after, so it's going to be very interesting to see what the market is going to be on him, but I do think that it is going to be quite warm on him, to say the least. You saw Travis Roberts. He was playing over at Jacksonville State this last season. He has decided that he is going to be heading on over to Marist. As like I said, the transfer portal, it is currently closed, but I would not be surprised if under some tomfoolery reasons it gets reopened. But like I said, as of right now, it's closed. And for Travis Roberts, he has closed the door on looking at going elsewhere. As for Marist, they're getting someone that has a little bit of versatility. Throughout his career for Roberts, he's been able to shoot about 36% from three-point range, was able to log about 3.5 points per contest the last two seasons over at Jacksonville State, a team that is very much defense-oriented, wasn't necessarily playing an up-and-down style at 6'6". I do think that he's going to be able to fit just what Marist is looking to do. Marist is a little bit more of a defense-oriented team that they don't bring in necessarily the biggest haul in the transfer portal as of right now, but I do think that they're starting to build a little bit of something here with Marist. You tell that they were able to ascend a little bit more this past season, and this is really their first add in the transfer portal, so we shall see if they're going to be able to get a little bit more moving forward, but certainly going to be very interested to see what happens there. We've also got Josh Udoje, who decided to enter into the transfer portal at the last hour as well, so we've got a few guys that I do need to clean up from the day on, I believe it was Wednesday, when the transfer portal closed. But with Udoje, he was playing this last season over at Utah State. He was able to log about 8.5 points per contest this last year over at Utah State. Made the leap from Coastal Carolina to Utah State quite well. Now, three-point shooting is not necessarily his forte. Only shot about 27.5% from three-point range this past season, but he's got a little bit of versatility at 6'5". It's going to be very interesting to see his sort of prospects. And then you've got Jordan Lathan, who entered in the transfer portal late, but he's out of eligibility. He was able to be a nice, solid scorer over at Morehead State. It's going to be very interesting to see if he's able to make any waves in general, because he's currently suing the NCAA for another year of eligibility. And as these COVID years come to an end, that's going to become probably a little bit more of a theme as well. And I have no take with regards to the law system. I went to school for radio, TV, film, so I know absolutely nothing about it. But that said, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I think that that's about the most fair take that I can give you there. And I'm able to give you a take about High Point basketball and the fact that they look to be back, baby. Damarian Williams, he last season was over at Texas Tech. Just an injury-riddled season in general. And he was really able to tear it up in the Big South when he was at Gardner-Webb during the 2021-22 campaign, his last season over there. Shot about 39.5% from three, 14.5 points, 2.5 assists per contest. He is heading back on over to the Big South. He is going to be playing for High Point, and High Point has really done a nice job here in the offseason. I know that their NIL collective is relatively big, but these guys, contrary to popular belief, they're not just going to the highest dollar amount. Well, some of these guys are. Some of these guys actually like the fit, and for High Point, I mean, what's not to love about this fit right now? Chase Johnson, a former 40% three-point shooter at Florida Gulf Coast. Bobby Pettiford, who began his career at Kansas, nice facilitator over at Eastern Carolina. You now bring in Texas Tech's Damarian Williams. They've got Jeremy Fofana, 6'11" center coming in from Rhode Island. This team looks to be stacked out there in the Big South, so good on them. Good for them to commit those resources to basketball. Love to see that. So they are getting all the better in the transfer portal, and I think that it's going to be very interesting to see what we get out of this team moving forward, as well as you've got Dylan Anderson, who has decided that he is going to be heading on over to Boise State. Boise State loses quite a few pieces in the offseason. They are no longer going to have Chibuzo Agbo, but Dylan Anderson is a former four-star guy. I believe that he might have been like a
state player of the year or something like that as well. But that said, for Anderson, just ended up getting glued to the bench over at Arizona. He's a former top 100 recruit that is actually Mr. Basketball, I believe, from the great state of Arizona. Did not play this last season, but at 7 feet tall, he's able to stretch the floor a little bit. He's able to give you some good versatility. I think the Boise State is going to find a way to be able to utilize him very well. And unless if I miss something, I think that they should be getting Tyson Dagenhart back in the fold. If they can find a way to be able to play those guys off of one another, you're really looking at something for a Boise State team that they always do a relatively solid job on defense as well. So I do think that that's a relatively solid gift for them. Ramel Lloyd Jr., he was playing over at Nebraska this last season, didn't necessarily get the world's most amount of minutes. He's decided that he's going to be going to Long Beach State. Long Beach State, they lose Dan Monson, but they picked up an NCAA tournament berth along the way, and I do think that this is going to be an interesting team as they were built around Lucina and Abakar Traore this last season, contrary to popular belief, because they have the same last name. They were not brothers. They actually grew up on like the same island out there in Africa, and yet somehow, some way, they weren't brothers or related, so I thought that was interesting. But that said, for our good friends over there with Long Beach State, they've done a nice job of being able to add some nice pieces, and I think that they're going to be an interesting team out there in a Big West, where I do think that UC Santa Barbara is going to be able to come back to the forefront. But Lloyd was a guy that could not play last season, but he had a top 250 grade according to a lot of those recruiting websites. Derek Michael Xaviero comes in from Grand Canyon. He's got some upside, and Devin Askew is a former top 75 recruit that, when he's healthy, I think that he could be an elevator out there in the Big West. So clearly they're going guard-centric. They're going a little bit smaller, and I do think that that is going to be paying some dividends for them. This is also going to be paying some dividends, bringing in a guy like Wayne McKinney III. He has decided that he's going to be going to San Diego State. I think that he's essentially going to be the replacement for Lamont Butler, who headed on over to Kentucky over the last few days. And for McKinley III, certainly not a guy that played a lot of defense. If you were playing in the San Diego just program in general, you weren't playing a lot of defense, which makes it very interesting, because you right now have San Diego State, UC San Diego, and you've also got the San Diego Toreros. Three D1 schools all in the same city, so he's not going to have to move very far. But that's up for McKinney this last year. Shot about 13.5 points per contest, shot about 34% from distance, was able to generate a little bit over a steal per contest. Could be interesting to see how he fits in, as for San Diego State, it just feels like they've really lost in this offseason. They haven't really brought in a whole bunch of, shall we say, impact guys. They've lost quite a few guys to the transfer portal over the last 24 months or so, but Brian Dutcher always finds a way to be able to figure it out. He's one of those coaches. When I ask our guests, who do you give the benefit of the doubt to? With our good friend and Mr. Dutcher, he is one of those guys I certainly do give the benefit of the doubt to. You also saw Kiba Kita decide to enter into the transfer portal as well. He was another one of those guys that entered at the very last second. 8.5 points, 5.5 boards, right around about a block per contest as well. He's someone that I think could be very interesting, and he's someone that I think has a little bit of upside as well. So I'm going to be taking a look at that, and I do think that whoever lands him, they're going to be getting a relatively solid get, just like this is a very good gift for Tulane. Michael Ely, if he can stay healthy, I think that he's going to be a difference maker for a Tulane team that they just need depth from last year. Tulane was playing at a top 20 rate in terms of total possessions per game, and yet they were playing with a 6.5 man rotation. They got tired, it felt like, at the end of games. It's like, shock, shock, surprise, surprise. I wonder why, but for Ely, he was just dealing with so many injuries last season, but when he was out there, he was good for Seattle. 13.5 points, 5.5 boards, shot only about 26.5% from three-point range, but again, I pin a lot of that on the injuries that he went through. As a freshman, he shot more around 34% from three-point range, and I do think that he's going to be able to fit the Tulane style. He was playing a little bit more up-tempo 2 seasons ago with Siena. Last year, they couldn't play with any tempo whatsoever because everyone on Siena was hurt. So it's really hard to really evaluate him fairly because of everything that happened this past season. But that said, I do think that he's going to be able to go into that Tulane program. He's a guy that's able to play some, shall we say, stretchable basketball. He's able to guard multiple positions, and I do think that he's going to be offering them some nice promise. I think that this is going to be big for Oregon as well. TJ Bamba, he is going to be entering into the program, and Dana Altman was one of the original pioneers of the transfer portal. Now, in recent years, it felt like the game was passing him by a little bit in terms of guys that he was bringing in. I think that Phil Knight might be helping him out just a little bit here, but you know what? For Oregon, they've done a nice job here in the transfer portal. They do lose Kerry Okwendo, and after about 500 million billion years, they're no longer going to have Jermaine Cuisinart, but they bring back Jackson Shellstead, and on top of that, they've got a nice backcourt to build around him. Raheem Moss is a nice double-figure scorer from Toledo. TJ Bamba is a guy that's just able to go out there, and he's able to get you buckets. 10 points per game over at Villanova this last year, shot 37% from three, and he's very familiar with the West Coast. He began his career over at Washington State, so he has some familiarity there. He's probably not going to be playing against Washington State with conference realignment, but that said, he's able to give you a few rebounds per game. I think that he's going to be able to go in there, and he's going to be able to fit this system very well. And you also have Brandon Angel, who's going to be coming in. He was playing over at Stanford this last season, so that's going to be big for them. This is going to be a big gift for George Mason as well, because they hit gold last year when they brought in Keyshawn Hall from UNLV, and I don't know if this guy is going to be able to replace that production, but they bring in Zach Anderson, who last year was over at Florida Gulf Coast. While he was over at Dunk City at 6'7", shot in the neighborhood about 46% from three, 13 points, 5 boards, pair of assists per contest. He's not necessarily the most fit guy in the world at a little bit north of 200 pounds, but he's got really good versatility. He does a nice job of just being able to hold the ball a little bit. He wasn't necessarily a guy that could go guard multiple positions or anything like that at Florida Gulf Coast. That team was just miserable at guarding the three-point arc. I don't pin any of that on Zach Anderson, though, but a guy that's able to stretch the floor, a guy that I think can go into George Mason, be able to fit that system in general. I do like this move. And how about this? John Tonjay, he has decided that he is going to be heading on over to Wisconsin. John Tonjay spent, I think, like 3 days over there in New Mexico. Finally, Wisconsin gets a guy that I'm a little bit bullish on, because up until this point, Wisconsin fans were trying to get behind, oh boy, we're bringing in Xavier Amos from Northern Illinois and stuff like that. And I'm just like, eh, I don't know about this. This is a guy that I like. John Tonjay, 2 years ago when he was fully healthy over at Colorado State, 14.5 points, shot 39% from three-point range. He's stretchable enough to be able to guard multiple positions at right around 6'5". This is exactly what Wisconsin needed. I'm still a little bit bearish on them coming into the year, but for all of you Wisconsin fans that are giving me grief for being down on this team for bringing in a dude from Central Arkansas that didn't play last year and a guy from Northern Illinois, this is what they needed. This is what they've got. So thank goodness gracious, and hopefully he can guard the three-point line, because that killed Wisconsin last year, and well, they're going to need to change that defensive philosophy a little bit, because it has really been failing them. That said, this philosophy has been succeeding for Eric Musselman up until last year, bringing in 100 million billion transfers, and I think that this is transfer number 10 for them, as Desmond Claude, who last season was playing over at Xavier, he's going from the X-Men and he's becoming a Trojan. He last season was really able to carry the mail for Xavier, 16.5 points, 4.5 boards, 3 assists. Not a guy that's going to stretch the floor and shoot threes. He shot about 24% from 3-point range, but now USC is bringing in those big bomber guys. Last 72 hours, they bring in Terrence Williams. He was a nice rebounder over at Michigan, just launched in a system that was not great, to say the least. St. Thomas was one of the most versatile players in all of college basketball at Northern Colorado. Now you're bringing in Desmond Claude, Olancho Buso Agbo. Now you're starting to get the ball rolling. When they were bringing in guys like Rashawn Agee, Matt Noling, these guys from the mid-major level, I was thinking, oh, okay pieces, but I don't know how they compete with the talent that they're going to be seeing at the Big Ten level. Now I'm starting to see it a little bit more. Now I have absolutely no idea what they're going to be running whatsoever. As this is just sort of a hodgepodge of guys, it feels like, as of right now, but I do like the get. So certainly I do think that USC has been able to do a good job over the last few hours bringing in some of these guys that I do think they're going to be able to elevate this program moving forward, and they are certainly taking some strides in the right direction. And we also did see Davion Bailey be on the move. He last season was very good over at Ball State, 12.5 points, shot about 42.5% from three-point range, and he's heading on over to Incarnate Word, an Incarnate Word program that has been sad, sorry, what have you, for many, many years out there in the Southland. This is the biggest get that they have gotten in a very, very long time now. How Incarnate Word is going to be able to utilize him, that's a little bit of a question mark, as the best way to put this program over the last few seasons has been disjointed. You have absolutely no idea what they're running. You have no idea what the philosophy is, and who knows who's actually going to be coming back for them. But for Incarnate Word, they're on the board with some relatively nice transfers. They also bring in Jalen Anderson. He was playing this last year over at Ball State. They bring in Matinius Mokakis, hopefully I said that correctly, 6'7", a little bit of a combo player from Central Florida. But in terms of Anderson, the guy that he's going to be playing alongside with, he began his career at Loyola Marymount, 16 points, 4.5 boards, 4.5 assists, all of a sudden, you got yourself a really nice backcourt, and all of a sudden, the Southland, there must be an infusion of money that must be coming in that conference right now, because you've got McNeese doing all that they are doing right now. Now you've got Incarnate Word actually bringing in guys, which we've never, ever seen before. So, hey, good on them. They're putting some resources into basketball. So that's nice to see. And for Isaiah Hawthorne, nice to see him land on his feet. A guy that I always felt like should have gotten a little bit more run over at San Francisco. His best year came 2 years ago. He was able to log about 6.5 points, threw in there an assist, 3 rebounds per contest. Not a guy that's really going to pop it from three overly much, but on the small amount of threes that he took 2 seasons ago, shot 39% from 3-point range. He just has decided that he's going to be going to Northern Colorado. And for Northern Colorado, they lose St. Thomas in the offseason, but we've seen it with Northern Colorado. They turn these guys that sort of have a very similar frame to Isaiah Hawthorne. He stands right around about 6'7", something around that range. He's got a nice athletic frame. He might actually be 6'8". And they turn him into, just like St. Thomas this last year, just like Dalton Connect a few seasons ago, these guys that they just become go-to scorers. They do a little bit of everything. And I do think that this is going to be a move that is very much going to be paying dividends for them. I think that they're going to be trying the same thing with him. Now, do I think that he's going to be the same as St. Thomas and Dalton Connect? I think that that would be lofty expectations, but I do think that Isaiah Hawthorne, he's going to be able to do a solid job coming into this program right away and doing a nice job of being able to help out this team. And we have seen now new Cornell coach John Jacques really shore up his coaching staff. He has decided that he is going to be bringing in Mike Brandon, the former head coach over at American, as one of their main assistants. Jalen Hayes is now going to be an assistant for them as well, that according to Jeff Goodman. So we've got that a little bit more shored up as Baylor. They do lose Bill Peterson. Great name. He's decided that he's going to be becoming the top assistant over at Denver as well. You wish him absolutely nothing but the best. And then Jalen Crocker Jones. He was the OVC Rookie of the Year this last year over at Little Rock. He's decided that he's going to be going to Colorado State. Colorado State hasn't made a lot of moves, but you can tell that because they're losing Isaiah Stevens from this past season, that they're going to be going in a little bit of a different direction. It feels like they're going to be going a bit more defense-oriented. They already brought Ethan Morton, who is over at Purdue, into the fold. And for Crocker Jones, he last season as a 6'8 versatile piece over at Little Rock. Didn't shoot it well from three. Only shot about 28.5% from distance, but 9 points, 5.5 boards. He's able to guard multiple positions. Gave you darn near a block per contest with Colorado State. I absolutely love what Nico Medved is doing. And Nico Medved has shown that as a coach, he's willing to change his philosophy and he's willing to change his style based on the talent that he has around him. Obviously, this year, he's probably not going to have as much shooting talent as he's had in past years. So, feels like he's going a little bit more defense-oriented. Brought in Keyshawn Williams, who was over at Northern Illinois and was a nice go-to scorer, guy that's able to handle the ball in his own right as well. So, love what Colorado State is doing, and hopefully you love what we're doing here on this podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops. We're looking at college basketball every single day to prepare you for what should be the best college basketball season ever. And if you do like what you're hearing from this fine podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, you're able to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, take a good idea, what have you, for this podcast, you have one of two ways we'll fire those in. First one is my Twitter /XTimeline at JNN_D1. Keep in mind, letters EM, they mean does not matter. So, as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. And the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. And big thanks once again to Blake Lovell of Southeastern 14 for joining me in the last segment. Coming at you guys every single day on this podcast, regular season and off season. And I'm back with you once again tomorrow. Thank you.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
You wouldn't expect to hear that we're America's third best city for beer like this one. or home to vibes like this and this. It might surprise you that we're top 10 for immersive art that's like,
whoa,
and not to mention we have one of the top zoos in the country. So can a city with the country's best pro soccer team, ranking as a top culinary destination in the world, be in your own backyard? Yes, Columbus. Plan your summer at experiencecolumbus.com/summer.